TuneIn Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
With Juan McCartney is sponsored by Bahama Limited, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, Global Learning Exchange, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Bronze Electric Motors, Cisco Bahamas Food Services, and Wendy's.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right. Yesterday, we were talking about price control. Then we were talking with the people from Banza. Today, we can talk about more about price control. We could talk about the BPL situation. And we can talk about this report by the Auditor General into the findings of the finances of the Bahamas Mission in Brussels, Belgium, which I find to be very interesting in that there's a lot of money we're talking about. All right, but before we do all that, I'm going to read this to you. This is from the Ministry of Health. And this is talking about a respiratory illness that's going around. I think we should pay attention to, right? It's actually from the public PMH, Pediatric Emergency Department. Issues advisory regarding respiratory illness. So this says, the Princess Margaret Hospital Pediatric Emergency Team advises that there's been a sharp rise in respiratory illnesses in our community over the last few months since schools have reopened. These illnesses present with fever, cough, and runny nose. These symptoms are usually mild and are easily addressed by a primary care physician in an office or clinic setting. Newborn infants, birth to 6 weeks, or children in respiratory distress should receive care in an emergency department setting. Signs of respiratory distress include rapid breathing, inability to speak, inability to drink liquids, uncontrollable cough, or wheezing. Rapid breathing, inability to speak, inability to drink liquids, uncontrollable cough, or wheezing. That's respiratory distress. If that's happening to your child, I hope you would take them to the emergency room. If your child has had fever for more than 5 days of 101.5 degrees Fahrenheit or higher, please seek medical attention. If your newborn presents with a temperature of 104 degrees Fahrenheit or 38 degrees Celsius or higher, please seek medical attention. The public is encouraged to follow all updates, advisories, and announcements from the Ministry of Health and Wellness and the Public Hospital Authority. For further information regarding health services. Yeah. So be aware of that. Look out for that. If your kid's presenting with they're lethargic, if they have a fever, you know, if they're wheezing, coughing, runny nose, you want to go ahead and get that checked out. Don't take it lightly. Fever is also very distressing with kids. So they say usually mild symptoms. So I guess it's kind of like, I guess, a tamer version of COVID. My kids had COVID. Well, we all had COVID. And, you know, I'm up on my vitamin regime and I take my cordyceps and my spirulina and my reishi. But COVID wasn't bad enough to warrant them having to go to the emergency room or anything like that. They presented with fever for about a day or so. And the fever's the scary part, right? So that's when you see your fever hitting, when you see that fever hitting 103, you know what I mean? You start to get nervous, you know what I mean? I throw everything at it. Ibuprofen, acetaminophen. I asked the lady at the pharmacy, I was like, you got some, I want some ibuprofen, you know, show me where it is. They were out of the name brand stuff. And I also had the acetaminophen. Acetaminophen is Tylenol. Ibuprofen is Motrin. I said, I want some ibuprofen. Because I don't see it on the shelf, so point me to where it is, please, if you have some back here. And so she's like, sure. And she brings me the ibuprofen, and she sees the acetaminophen in my hand. And she's like, okay, so just the ibuprofen. I was like, no, I want both. So she was like, why do you need both? I was like, I'm going to give them both at the same time. And she was probably like 3 seconds away from like calling the cops or like social services to like report me. But I was like, no, my doctor, I was like, said give them both for 24 hours to try to knock it out. And it worked. Now, don't go poison your child and say, one, say, give him, throw everything at him. Don't put that on me. Now, be careful, all right? So the kids are masking in school. I think actually being impacted with this. And it's going around really rapidly with children. So I'm not tripping. I'm not like, I can't. The kids can't possibly get infected. Because my kids are older. I don't want to get anything. But I know that a child's immune system needs to be exposed to certain things to grow, to learn how to fight it. All right? But they're still going to get it. Kids are still going to get this. Kids are still going to probably get COVID. Hopefully there's nothing bad. And hopefully this burns itself out very quickly. We also still get the common cold going around. We also still got the flu going around. I'm taking my flu shot. I don't care what you're talking about. I'm taking my flu shot. I'm not taking no more COVID shot. I can tell you that until they get something special going on. But be careful and mind your children out there. Stuff is rough. All right. So listen, we were talking about price controls. And people are saying different things. I see Michael Alkita says that they're going to give the people till Friday to comply. I mean, he's saying that, but it doesn't sound like there's going to be any consequences if they do not comply, which is strange to me, but that's just me. So what I'm going to look at is the experts examining price controls and what they actually do, all right? Just for a moment. This is called Price Controls, Good Intentions, Bad Outcomes, authored by Justin Damien Gannett. I don't know if I butchered your name there, Justin. And this is by the World Bank. All right. And this is an April 2020 report. So let me just read the abstract for you, and then we could get into some of the findings. And they give real-world examples. This is on price controls. So the use of price controls is widespread across emerging markets and developing economies, including for food and key imported and exported commodities. Although they are sometimes used as a tool for social policy, price controls can dampen investment and growth, worsen poverty outcomes, cause countries to incur heavy fiscal burden, effective conduct of monetary policy. Replacing price controls with expanded and better targeted social safety nets, coupled with reforms to encourage competition and a sound regulatory environment, can be pro-poor and pro-growth. Such reforms need to be carefully communicated and sequenced to ensure political and social acceptance. Where they exist, price control regimes should be transparent and supported by well-capitalized stabilization funds or national hedging strategies to ensure fiscal sustainability. So let's think about some stuff that's price controlled in our country. What are the big things? The biggest thing I would have argued prior to the recent addition of many more items to the bread basket would have been oil. All right. So it doesn't feel like it, but oil and petroleum products are price controlled in this country. Not every single one of them, but certainly diesel, certainly gasoline, they are price controlled in this country. So price control, good intentions, bad outcomes. So let's look at some of the things we're looking at, right? Good intention. You don't want gasoline to go above a certain rate because it makes it unbearable for a population, right? It hinders transport. It hinders economic growth when the price of gasoline, diesel are out of control, all right? There are often fluctuations in oil prices on the world market, and so it's very difficult at times to control that. But the intention was the government puts a profit margin. Tell me if this sounds familiar. The government has put a cap on the profit margin that wholesalers and retailers can have on gasoline and diesel. That's a good intention. The intention is sound. However, with oil prices skyrocketing, the retailers are saying, your margin is crippling us. Okay? Your margin is going to cost us, if this is a sustained thing, to have to offer fewer services, lay off staff, all right? And possibly close gas stations. That hasn't happened yet, all right? That hasn't happened yet. But certainly the petroleum retailers, for certain, will have massive spikes in what they and the revenue recorded, and therefore that's going to change the equation with their business license. So the government's going to have to look at that. So good intention, bad outcome. Let's look at some other price controls. The bus fare is price control. It's $1.25 for what's the bus fare for minors? For school children. 50 cent? It's $1. $1 for high school, 50 cent for primary. And for adults, it's $1.25. Okay. Senior citizens? $1? Okay. Bus fare is price controlled in the country. Okay? So they're saying that we want to make public transportation affordable. Good intention, because not everybody can own a car. Not everybody needs to own a car because of the pollution, et cetera, et cetera. So they're price. I'll tell you another form of price control, some other things. So there are things that are price controlled in this country that we don't even consider often. Good intention. You want school kids to be able to afford to be able to go to school, ride the bus comfortably. You want senior citizens to be able to use public transportation comfortably and affordably. So good intention. It's a public policy decision that the government has made to try to make it easier for people to get around. However, what are the bus drivers saying now that fuel prices are skyrocketing or have skyrocketed? They're coming back down a little more. They're saying, you're freezing us at $1.25, and we can't legally charge more, but our operating costs have dramatically increased. The same with the taxi drivers. They're saying, look, this is the taxi fare, which, no offense, taxi drivers, but is hefty out there. This is the taxi fare. You're saying we can only make this amount. However, the petroleum costs more to run. Don't get mad. I support my taxi drivers. I rate my taxi drivers. I rock with y'all for certain. You know what I mean? You guys do a great job. The ones who ain't trying to sell people drugs. I'm kidding. There's only very few bad apples. I know taxi drivers. Many, many, many. They're great people. All right. But the taxi drivers are saying, look, we hear you. You want tourism to be able to flourish so that they, when they talk about the Bahamas, when they come to the Bahamas, they can say it's not unaffordable to ride a taxi, and then people will make a lot more money. We hear you. That's great. However, you've price-controlled our fares, and therefore our operating costs have to be at a certain level for us to make a profit. When the price up, price control can be a bad outcome for the taxi drivers. Good intention. Make taxi fare reasonable for tourists. Lock it in, no matter the circumstance. Bad outcome. All right? So that's what we're talking about. Good intention. But can lead to bad outcomes. So, and we haven't even touched food yet. All right? So I'm not going to go through all of this with you because this is a 20-page report. All right? But what I will say is that we need to look at the conclusions that they're giving. So this talks about emerging markets and developing economies. So you'll hear that phrase a lot. Emerging markets and developing economies, EMDEs, all right? And these would be economies that could even be very robust, but are still emerging. So even China, by several metrics, is considered an emerging market, all right? They're rapidly, rapidly growing out of that classification, but even China, all right? And then you have your large commercial economy. Well, China's a large commercial economy, but they still consider it an emerging market by several metrics when you're looking at it. So let's talk about it. Let's see what they have to say. Sorry, I lost my place here. Hold on. Okay, this says, price controls are widely employed across advanced economies and emerging markets and developing economies. They tend to be much more pervasive in emerging markets and developing economies than in advanced economies, especially so for energy and food-related goods. So energy and food, we just talked about energy, right? Energy is also price control, like BPL, that's price control, right? The tariffs, the fuel charge, that's all price control, all right? So when the government decided to not raise the fuel charge, that was a form of price control, all right? And you see that blow up in our face. And this is what I'm saying. Good intention. I don't want you to pay more for the fuel. But what happens 6 months later? Oh, BPL's on the brink of collapse. So sorry, right? Bad outcome. So you got to be careful about this thing. And I'll say this before I go any further, all right? Here's what I want to say to the government of the Bahamas. You have a very robust communications apparatus, but no amount of good communication is going to make flawed policy better. Put that another way. If you start off on the wrong premise, taking the wrong action, there's no explanation that I can give later or after you take that action that's going to make it not have a bad outcome. All right? So the communications is firing on all cylinders. The policy needs to be more carefully considered in some of these instances. All right? And BPL would be one of them. Price control would be the other. All right? Price controls are widely employed across advanced economies and emerging markets and advanced economies and emerging markets and developing economies. They tend to be much more pervasive in the emerging markets than in advanced economies, especially so for energy and food-related goods. The relatively high prevalence of other types of price controls in advanced economies reflects the greater prevalence of controls for services such as telecommunications, which, sidebar, is also price controlled in the Bahamas. This says, while price control regimes tend to be more restrictive in emerging markets when compared to advanced economies, the extent of controls varies greatly across economies, all right? Now, let me go down here. Da-da-da-da-da. This says, whereas controls are on basic utilities such as electricity and water and telecommunication and postal services, controls in emerging markets are much more frequently applied to petroleum products such as gasoline and liquefied petroleum gas, as well as food products including flour, bread, sugar, and rice. All right, and I'm going to read some from a New York Times article that's a little older that can give us some insight into where this has issues. It says, less prevalent goods and services subject to controls include various pharmaceutical products, sound familiar? Services such as the provision of medical care, public sanitation, and transportation, as well as construction materials such as cement, reinforcing bars, and metal sheets. Now, I'm not sure that these are price controlled in this country to the extent that the resale has a restricted profit margin, but when we look at pharmaceutical products, certainly that's subject to price control, many pharmaceutical products, all right? We don't have any price control on public sanitation because we don't charge for public sanitation, which I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I think it's a 20, whatever, 21 by 7 island. This is fine. The government should be able to keep the place clean. We should be able to keep the place clean. We just don't give a damn and dirty up everything. It says, so sanitation, we don't have price controls on because that's taken care of. Transportation, we do have price controls on. I just told you about the buses. I just told you about the taxis. Someone else talked to me about price control with transportation. So what's price control with transportation in this country? All right. So when you see, let's look at Singapore. All right. I know. Everyone likes to talk about Singapore, right? Singapore's got an incredibly sophisticated public transportation system. Singapore, you're going to, last I checked, if you try to bring a Honda into Singapore, I'm not talking no Bugatti or Lambo, a Honda, right? You're going to pay upwards of 100% customs duty, and then they're going to charge you for just to have the vehicle beyond the registration. You're going to have to pay a tax just to have a car beyond the licensing, all right? And you are going to have to, you can only have that car for 5 years, all right? After 5 years, you got to apply each year and pay another tax to keep that car, and after 10 years, you can't have it. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. By 2030, Singapore is not going to allow you to have a combustion engine vehicle. Okay? Gonna have to be electric. Or whatever, maybe they'll figure something else out by 2030. So they've controlled the number of vehicles on the streets. They've controlled the kinds of vehicles they have through taxes and pricing. So the price of having a vehicle in Singapore is out of reach for most people because they don't want you to have a car. They want you to take the public transportation system, period. We price control here on vehicles as well. So we charge extra taxes for combustion engine vehicles. We charge extra taxes for larger engines. We charge extra taxes for diesel vehicles. And we have lowered to, I wouldn't say an irreducible minimum, but we've lowered very significantly the taxes on electric vehicles. So they want you to bring in electric vehicles. Now, we should be doing the same thing with energy in terms of solar, but that's a different discussion. All right? So let me, before we take a break here, get down to the thing. It is a long report. Hold on. You know, so the government doesn't want people kicking up. So if you have something that's particularly a staple product in the country, you're going to look at price control when stuff starts going out of whack. So let's say we're in Mexico, right? Listen, Don't play games with me, all right? I'm talking facts here. Let's say you're in Mexico, and the price of tortilla production goes way up because of corn. They eat a lot of corn tortillas in Mexico, and flour. So corn and flour is a crunch on the world market, and the price of tortillas in Mexico is out of control. Lots of wealth in Mexico, lots of poverty too. The Mexican government before has price-controlled tortillas. It blew up in their face. This is going to sound silly, but there's a black market tortilla thing going on that went on for years in Mexico. All right? So if it's a staple in a country, sometimes governments will try to put price controls on it, and often it blows up in their face. All right? So this says, policy challenges. Price controls can cause significant social policy and political economy challenges. The use of price controls combined with large subsidies is an inefficient tool for redistributing domestic income. To be inequitable, as wealthier segments of the population benefit disproportionately given their greater consumption of the price control good compared to other consumers and producers. All right. For example, subsidies and below market prices for gasoline and liquid natural gas have proven highly regressive, with only a small share of the subsidy benefiting the poorest segments of the population. These policies also pose mounting fiscal challenges. Price controls impose an explicit or implicit set of taxes and subsidies that varies over time, and their enforcement may require additional regulations to constrain consumption and production. Typically, a system of price controls on goods ends up as a growing burden on either the fiscal budget and public debt or the profitability of producers. All right? Price potential or implicit fiscal costs from price controls can be particularly high in large countries due to their more widespread use of these policies. Okay. Lastly, they also pose challenges to the effective conduct of monetary policy. All right. In all advanced economies and in many emerging markets, monetary policy has played a major role in reducing inflation to a low, stable rate, often in the context of an explicit inflation targeting regime. Well, we're importing inflation because we can't just print more money, and we don't really raise interest rates to dampen access to credit. All right. Let me get down to the nitty gritty here. Conclusion. Although also used in advanced economies are particularly ubiquitous in emerging markets and developing economies, especially for energy commodities. While often implemented with the best social intentions in mind, these policies often distort markets and their consequences for growth, poverty reduction, and government policies grow over time. Here's the takeaway. Let me know if you've heard this before. Countries can replace price controls with expanded and better targeted social safety nets, coupled with encouraged competition and a sound regulatory environment. Evidence suggests that such comprehensive price control reforms can be both pro-poor and pro-growth. However, historical experience highlights the need for careful communication and sequencing of reform efforts to ensure political and social acceptance. Where they exist, authorities can ensure that price control regimes are transparent and supported by well-capitalized stabilization funds or national hedging strategies to ensure fiscal sustainability. All right? So if you have food that is becoming out of the reach of people who are less likely to be able to afford it, you don't tell the food producer, charge less for food. What you do is you implement programs where you can either give them access to food that's good, or you can give them money to go buy food. And people think of this as a derogatory thing, particularly they do this in the United States on a massive level. They give federal aid for food, for people who can't afford food, to buy food. It's called the SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, otherwise known as welfare, that people try to... But there are ways to do this without interrupting how the free market works. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Discover the Global Learning Exchange, an innovative network that's making world-class higher education flexible, affordable, and accessible to Bahamians. Ready to earn an internationally accredited degree? GLX is now enrolling students. Pursue a bachelor's or master's degree, or become Microsoft or IBM certified. Call GLX at 603-0713, go to globallearningexchange.com/Bahamas, or visit GLX on Mackey Street today.
Breakfast just got better at Wendy's. Introducing the Breakfast Biggie Bag. Enjoy a double sausage muffin with two square sausage patties, a freshly cracked egg, and cheese served on a toasted English muffin, a medium waffle fries, and an orange juice for only $5.25, fat inclusive. Add an apple pie for just $1 more.
Say what?
At Wendy's, better breakfast is all day. Offers valid in participating locations. Wendy's, different inside and out.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Hey, Lisa, AHR Fidelity's free Women Plus seminar is back.
Oh, yes, it is. My ladies and I are ready to go.
Well, I heard it's open for men, too, so you know my crew and I will be there.
The highly anticipated free Fidelity Women Plus seminar will be held on Saturday, October 29th at the Bahama Convention Center as we explore solutions towards achieving financial freedom.
The Women's Plus seminar is free and includes breakfast, 8 sessions, plus over $8,000 in prizes and surprises. Registration and breakfast begin at 8 a.m. with sessions from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Space is limited, so register now for free at fbbwomanplus.com.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-3249.
Soplex Barbie here to tell you all about the Live Fit for Fall promotion brought to you by US Beef and Celsius Essential Energy Drink. During the months of October and November, when you shop at Super Value and Solomon's locations in Nassau, look out for the featured cut sticker on high-quality US Beef. Purchase that cut along with 3 cans of Celsius Energy Drink, and you'll be entered to win a brand new air fryer. Visit bahamafood.com for a list of participating stores and promotion details. Excited to have you join me and my fit foodies as we live fit for fall.
The Bahamas Culinary and Arts Festival kicks off October 21st with a fish fry inspired welcome party, headlined by none other than the legendary Boys to Men. Join us for the first ever Bahamas Culinary and Arts Festival from October 21st through 23rd. For more information, visit bahamar.com.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're going to shelve our discussion on price controls for a minute, and we're going to talk today with Pace about its character day. We're going to talk with one of Pace's hidden heroes. We had Pace on the show recently to talk about, and it really performs an important function for underage women who find themselves in a situation where they're pregnant and they cannot no longer be in the regular school system and oftentimes have to drop out of school and don't have those necessary skills to carry on in life. So joining me today is Sonia Brown, who's the president of, is it president or director? I can't remember. Chairman? Something. Right, so who's the president of Pace Bahamas, and we also have one of the hidden heroes, Ms. Kefianne Ferguson Duncombe. Mm-hmm. She's a teacher, and she's one of Pace's hidden heroes. So can you tell us a bit more about Character Day, Ms. Brown, and what it means? It's today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, today. Right. Well, first of all, Juan, thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, so Character Day is today, and it really came, our decision to have Character Day came out of the work that we do at Pace. Mm-hmm. Anecdotally, talking to the coordinators and those in the schools who work directly with the students, they, you know, we just heard this recurring theme of the students having low self-esteem, and that at Pace they had to work on their character strengths. And so character development is recognizing what is already great about you. All right, you don't have to make it up. We are all great. And so when we learned about Character Day, which was an international event that we found out and brought to the Bahamas 7 years ago, we brought it with the intention of bringing it to every child in the Bahamas and to anyone who's interested in developing their character strengths. Because why should you be in a crisis situation to get this sort of training and help?
Absolutely.
So that's what we're all about.
So as I understand it, like Character Day goes into schools, it goes throughout the country, and it kind of talks to the concept about not only, teen pregnancy, but just in terms of being special and, enjoying who you are and looking up to people who are hidden heroes. And so we have Ms. Kefianne Ferguson Duncombe here with us, and she's a teacher. And I'll say this, during the pandemic, I think some of the people we started to value the most were nurses and teachers. Right, because I was like, praise Jesus, they're going back to school. I can't do this. Oh, shout out to my daughter, Jamie. I don't know if she's listening. I think she may be. Hope you're feeling better. She's not feeling well today. Mm. So she's with her mom, so I hope you feel better, sweetheart, and I love you. But tell us, you're a hidden hero.
Yes, I am.
Tell us what you do.
Well, I am a school teacher. I was placed in the school's library after I had a battle with breast cancer in 2015.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of like just me in the box, like, what are we going to do all day, you know? And I really wasn't used to it, so I grew accustomed to it. I made adjustments and just fell in love with books, fell in love with reading, and I noticed that our children do not like to read.
No. Nope.
And so I've been given a challenge to make reading exciting by a very good friend of mine, Shauna Knowles. She's the principal at Aquinas. Mm, and she encouraged me, do something different, Kev, you could do it. And then I just came up with this idea, hey, I'll go to school in characters. And I did it first February 5th, I think. I started the first one, and the kids was absolutely blown away. And so from then to now, I've been going to school and different characters every day. It depends on what's going on in our community, what's happening at school. I find a character that the students can relate to, dress up in that character, and we just have a wonderful time.
Awesome. And I see you're in character today. Yeah. Is this Minnie Mouse?
Very good. All right, there we go. Minnie Mouse today.
Excellent. All right. And so it's great that you work with children. And is it just primary school or high school kids?
Just primary school.
Just primary school kids. Yeah. And that's even, to me, I couldn't do any of it, but... It's easier to, you know what I mean, probably deal with the older kids.
I wouldn't trade it for the world. Right. I have friends who are in junior high and high schools that I cannot do primary school. So it depends on the person.
Right.
But I've been doing primary school now for over 30 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I absolutely love it. And finding these characters to help my students to find themselves or see themselves in a character to pull out the best of them is a pleasure.
That's awesome. So have you worked with Pace prior to this?
Yes, invited her.
Really?
So you must come to Pace right. because of to be reading and reading to their babies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how you do it. That's
absolutely.
Our children mimic our behavior.
They
so
do.
If they see us reading, they're going
to
read.
Right. I think you're absolutely right. I think it's the culture in the home. Like if they see this, your face in this all day, then that's what they're going
to
be doing.
There's so much things parents can do in the home to help their children to read.
Mm-hmm.
While you're cooking, you could have them to read you a story or go over the recipe with you, identify those letters, identify those words, those sounds, and bring everything together so the child will be able to have a healthy relationship with books. Not go get a book in your hand, like my daddy would say.
like
the punishment. Get a book in your hand.
Right.
No, find a book that you love. Find a topic that you love to do. Like my son's a pilot. He didn't like to read pilot books, but now he's a pilot. So books about aviation, that magazines with aviation is something that he really, really loves now. So find the one thing that you enjoy and just dive into it.
And dig into it. And it's double tough nowadays.
It's double tough.
Because my kids often go to me, they go, what did you watch on Netflix when you were a kid? There was no Netflix. There was no streaming. There was no internet. There was no YouTube. None of it, right? TV started at 5 o'clock.
That's right.
And that's it.
And we sat there and we waited for it to come out.
Right.
But let's not make the mobile phones the enemy. That is a tool for reading as well. Because our son came around the time that you had the swipe phones. So it was, we used that as a tool and we found those phonic apps. Mm-hmm. And so he was
there's a lot of good stuff out there. ABC Mouse.
Babies who are 2 years old who know how to handle the phone or handle the tablet. So you have to encourage
them.
Use
it as a tool.
You have to encourage it.
To read. Awesome. Well, this is great. So happy to have you here for Character Day. Can you tell us a little bit more about what Pace is going to be doing, and can you also tell us Miss Ferguson Dunkum, how people can and try to become a part of what you're doing? I think it's awesome.
Well, I am posted right now at Thelma Gibson Primary School. I am on Facebook and I'm on Instagram. I do this because I love it. That's another story, but I love what I do. If you want to reach out, my phone number is 455-8770. And I can't wait to, share the love. I've been asked to come to different schools. I went to Claridge Primary. I went to PG Glover to have story time with the children. And the children absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm.
I incorporate music as well. And I'm looking forward to my time at Pace Academy. Excited about it, actually.
Yeah, excellent. No, that's great.
Pace program. Yes, lovely to have you, as our hidden hero. We're so proud of you. We had 80 people nominated this year from 8 islands, Abaco, Andros, Berry Islands, Eleuthera, Exuma, Grand Bahama, Long Island, and New Providence. I just don't want people to think this is Nassau-centric. We have schools all over the Bahamas participating in Character Day events today, but some decided to do it later on in the month, in October or November. And so this is just our ongoing effort to help people to build those strengths. So you talk about the strengths, wisdom, courage. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite is grit, because we will tell a child, you're stubborn, but that is grit. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the positive side of that is grit.
Mm-hmm.
So you say to them, have grit about doing your homework. Be gritty about doing math. Be gritty about reading. So let's not use the negative side of it, calling them stubborn, and then there's the creativity
We
see in Keffi and, so all of those strengths we want to promote. We also were happy to engage in a big old corporate Bahamas. We had a corporate training for character and we had about 10 companies participate.
Excellent.
Yeah, and so, we're just excited about our efforts. People are very interested in what we're doing, and we're going to just keep going.
Okay, this is great. And thank you for being a hidden hero.
Oh,
there's so many of them out there. It's great
to
learn about you.
This morning we had We tried to have our assembly for Character Day, but we got rained out. But nevertheless, we still had a great time.
Right, awesome.
So we wanted just to promote all of the respect, the curiosity, the kindness, the fairness, the gratitude, the perseverance, courage, self-discipline, and creativity in our children. It's in there, and we have to pull it out as educators, as corporate sponsors, as leaders. We have to find the best way. So, because if you have a happy child, you have a happy nation.
Absolutely.
You know, and we are trying to build on these, give them a good foundation to be able to have our country where it should be. Because, you know, during COVID, a lot of students, they fell through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to find them and bring them back to school. And when they come, we want them to come to a healthy and a happy place where teachers can express themselves and dig deep without having to, you know, feel afraid or cross the line or whatever. Teach the children how to love themselves is first and foremost.
Absolutely. Well, it's great. Great to have you again, Ms. Brown. Great to meet you. It's great. And so we're still going to do some more stuff with PACE. And we're going to have some stuff on our website, and we're going to have some stuff in the newspaper. So
awesome.
It's going to be good.
All right.
Well, thanks for coming. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be back, and we'll continue our discussions on price control, et cetera. Stay tuned.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Hey Lisa, AR Fidelity's free Women Plus seminar is back.
Oh yes, it is. My ladies and I are ready to go.
Well, I heard it's open for men too, so you know my crew and I will be there.
The highly anticipated free Fidelity Women Plus seminar will be held on Saturday, October 29th at the Bahama Convention Center as we explore solutions towards achieving financial freedom.
The Women's Plus seminar is free and includes breakfast, 8 sessions, plus over $8,000 in prizes and surprises. Registration and breakfast begin at 8 a.m. with sessions from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Space is limited, so register now for free at fbbwomanplus.com.
The Bahamas Culinary and Arts Festival kicks off October 21st with a fish fry inspired welcome party, headlined by none other than the legendary Boys to Men. Join us for the first ever Bahamas Culinary and Arts Festival from October 21st through 23rd. For more information, visit bahamar.com.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-024.
If you want value and flavor, check out the King Meal Deals at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy your choice of a Big King Jr. or a Chicken Big King Jr. with fries and drink for only $5.75, including VAT. The Big King Jr. features Burger King's signature flame grilled beef topped with some of your favorite fixins and King sauce on a sesame seed bun, or indulge in the Chicken Big King. Either way, you get value, flavor, fries, and a drink the BK way for only $5.75. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
We'll be right back. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio. We were talking price control before the break, and we can resume our conversations. There's quite a bit going on, actually, that we could talk about, but I'm fine with sticking with price control. The RBDF thing that Wayne Monroe's talking about certainly is a point of concern that I think we should be vacillating a little better, because that is not the vision for the RBDF. Now, you want to go somewhere and help with an exercise, that's fine. Like, don't get excited, right? I know police went to Turks, and, you know, they're going to help them out there, but that don't mean we're a part of the world's fighting force where we go and calm down conflict in the region. I don't want that role for us, certainly. We need, like, a Coast Guard before we start talking about everybody else. This said the grocery, read some of your text. You can also call me if you'd like, 323-6232. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4316, and 325-4259, 325-4259. The text line, 422-4796, 422-4796. Right? This says, take the VAT off bread basket items and succumb to what the opposition has been advocating? Where do you live, Juan? Now, listen, it'll be really a hard pill to swallow, but the VAT on bread basket items wasn't that big a deal to me before, because, and I thought it was a good political talking point, but it wasn't actually looking at the economics of it. I didn't see it as being something that would be detrimental. I thought the overall drop in the price would compensate for it. But I think that before you did all this, you just should have went and said, you know what, let's take the VAT off the bread basket items. Let's see what that does, and let's go from there. Despite if the FNM saying it or whoever saying it, just because the opposition is saying it doesn't mean that it's not necessarily a good idea. All right? And I would have done it previously just to shut them up. Just been like, all right, here you go. I'll take the VAT off the breadbasket items. Right? I can take the revenue hit. But now you're in a position that you really can't do that. You put chicken in the breadbasket, man. I'm pretty sure, I'm willing to be corrected on this, I'm pretty sure that chicken is the most consumed food in this country. I'm willing to bet that chicken is the most consumed food in this country. Kermit, what do you think is the most consumed food in the country? Chicken? Or rice? Grits? I'd say chicken. I'm going with chicken. So chicken's got to be the most consumed food in the country. We consume 40 million pounds of chicken a year. I don't know that 5% of the chicken we consume is actually produced in the Bahamas. You're not going to forego VAT on that. Not on 40 million pounds of chicken. You put chicken in the bread basket. Now you're price controlling chicken. Rice. Someone's saying rice. Rice is the most consumed food in the country. Yeah, rice. Maybe if you add eggs, like it's a pseudo chicken to it, that would be, you know. But rice. You could make a legitimate argument for rice being the most consumed food in the country. You're not going to go ahead and forego VAT on all that. Not going to happen. All right. Now, let's do some more of your texts. Basket, too expansive. So you're saying that all these things are like what people essentially need to live, and therefore you must price control it. Again, if it were me, I would just give cash or give out actual food through a nutrition program. That's how I would approach it, as opposed to messing with the profit margins at the stores. I think it's folly. Beyond, just not well considered. I think it's a bad idea. You know, I'd give you, and listen, if you're saying, and come to me and tell me, okay, we don't got the money. We don't got the money to have a food pro. You got money to go and finish the baseball stadium. That's a baseball stadium aside. If you believe that the situation is so critical that people cannot afford food to eat, then you need to go and cut spending somewhere else and direct that money directly into the pockets of the people who need it. And don't tell me you can't, because NIB did just that during the height of the pandemic. In fact, up to the end of last year. Okay? Send the money to the people who need it. If the situation is that critical. If it's that critical, I'm going to send the money to the people who need it. Period. That's it. You need money for food? Here it is. All right? We're not even going to go through the whole rigmarole and I come visit your house and all this stuff like that. You think it's a problem? Set up your online, whatever it is. Apply. I'm going to send the money to you for food. Party it out or whatever like that. That's on you. But don't say I didn't send the money. All right? Or you could just do another food program. All right. I know the Social Services has one now, but you could expand it and go from there. So don't tell me the situation is so critical, but yet you can't send them the money. It's so critical that I got to now control what the grocers can make in profit when I have no concept of their operating costs and expenses. It's that critical that I can get that deeply involved into the free enterprise system. I can take this Orwellian the major stance, right? You could argue it's already Orwellian, a lot of the things that are done, but this is certainly Orwellian. It's that critical that I got to do that, but it ain't so critical I got to send you the funds. Because let's say the prices drop on average 5%, 10%. Are they going to, now they can afford it? Is that what you're saying to me? What's the threshold that's out of reach forever? You don't know, do you? You don't. What's the difference between me going, I got it and I don't got it? Is it 50 cents more a pound for chicken? And I got to put it all back? You haven't done any research on this at all. So I don't get what you're doing. I'll be real with you. It says if you count eggs, it's 100% chicken. Yeah, well, that's an interesting conversation to have. I won't lie to you. This says Juan. When is price control going to regulate? I'm planning to eliminate the only competition internet payments has, checks. No. The central bank wanted to discuss the elimination of checks. That seems to not be occurring. I mean, I don't have a problem with checks. I don't know. It says, so Juan, the prime minister's press secretary, and his most recent boo-boo and putting his foot in his mouth. I'm happy to see in today's Guardian newspaper the country's top journalist on government matters, Candide Ames, is calling out again for misspeaking ignorantly and foolishly about marital rape. Activists virtually wailing his tale strongly. She takes no prisoners, friend or foe, not pity pattying this Davis government just as she did the Minnis government, unlike yourself, on many issues a true professional. Why are you going to throw shade? Unlike me. I'm sorry, am I pity-pattying with the Davis administration? Is that what you hear from me today? That I think it's folly to do this with the grocers? Is that what you're hearing? Where I tell you I think it's not the right time to increase the minimum wage, even though I want to see people make more money. They screwed up majorly on the BPL issue that I talked about for days on end. That's what you think I'm doing, pity-pattying? I'm so sorry. What I do is I keep it real. Right? All right? I don't have no favor for nobody. That I tell you I like Brave Davis is because I've known him a long time, And he's good in my book, and I want him to be successful. And he's not this acerbic, bitter, barking, intransigent, at the worst possible time, prime minister so far that Minnis was. But I can be fair to the Minnis administration. I can be fair to the Davis administration. And my idea of fair is just me being real about the policies that I see. And it's not from an ill-considered point of view. So I don't know why you're throwing shade at me. But go pick up a copy of National Review. It's always a good read. Let's take this call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, how you doing, Juan?
I'm great. How are you?
Pretty good. Good show you have here.
Thank you.
I want to ask you one question.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Where's the Speaker of the House?
I don't know where she is.
You sure?
I don't know where she is. I don't know. Was she there today? I didn't watch the House today.
No, not just today.
Well, I didn't watch it in its entirety.
She ain't been there now.
For weeks.
They came back.
Yeah, for weeks and weeks.
She ain't been there for the
time. Some medical procedure? I don't know. I don't know where she is, but it's a very good question.
Oh, because I'm a little bit puzzled, you know. I hear a voicemail from somebody from your station, and I know that person wasn't going to put it out unless he was sure, you know, like that.
I don't know what you heard. I can't vouch for no voicemail nobody from the station sent out.
Say what you want to say. Could I call his name?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you have a show in the evening. It comes on at what? After lunch.
Oh, Naughty?
Ask Naughty.
Why we had to jump over hedges for you to say Naughty name? Okay.
No,
Naughty said something happened to the speaker.
Him, but ask Naughty, because
okay.
I get a voicemail from him.
Okay.
I said I can watch it to see how long it can play out. And now today, she in the house again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they were talking about...
No, I mean, that's irregular. You're not wrong.
Area.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm. Yeah.
All right, bro. You have a good one.
Well, I'll ask Naughty about it. But it's irregular that the speaker hasn't been there since they resumed. As far as I'm aware, that is irregular. And I think that the public is owed an explanation. We don't got to know all your personal business, but the public is owed an explanation as to why, and I don't know that one has been given, as to why the speaker has been absent from the House of Assembly for the past few sittings. That's not unfair. That's not intrusive. The public is owed an explanation. This is one I always hear about the opposite side talking about inflation. Drop the price on bread basket or the VAT, but if the government does not help inflation in the country, the U.S. is having a problem with inflation. The PLP and the FN need to get together and figure out how to deal with inflation instead of bashing one another. If you were in the chair, tell me your solution with inflation. Me, I don't have a solution on inflation. Because we're not, the Bahamas is not... responsible for what is currently happening with inflation. Let me say this, though. Doing this mechanism for price control, increasing your BPL bills more dramatically than needed to happen, increasing minimum wage January 1 can certainly worsen inflation. So I would have been like, hey, I don't have your solution for inflation because we're importing this inflation. There are things that I can do as a government that I think could help, okay? I could perhaps reduce the taxes that I take on imports. They've done some of that. I can perhaps not take that. All right. Someone tell me, there's a naked person on Shirley Street? Is there a naked vagrant on Shirley Street? Or of Shirley Street? Can the police please address it? Can you please, listen, I love you, police officers. Can we stop acting as if this isn't a problem people doing drugs and panhandling and being vagrant and stripping off their... There's a woman who strips naked, okay, in the mornings, like clockwork. She changes her clothes naked. She's living in the roundabout at Thompson Boulevard, or what is it, University Drive, at Points Drive. And we just drive by and act like we don't see these things. Can we pull our head out of the sand, please? Is this normal to you? Now there's a naked vagrant on Shirley Street. You're just gonna, everyone's gonna drive by? That's normal? That's the environment we wanna live in? I gotta go get him? Sorry. This is a constant problem I have, and I don't know why these people don't address this bloody issue on New Providence. Okay, let's go to the phone line. Afternoon, welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan, what's up?
Hey, right here.
Yeah, I'm off earlier. The gentleman have a valid point. She ain't only missing from the House Assembly. She missing from Bamboo Down, too, man. All them big holes and craters in the road, man, there in Bamboo Down, in the back of Porky's gas station. Well, when the last time you been south, down south from Malcolm Road south?
Boy, not this year.
Yeah, you ain't been a long time because you know you are this east over there.
I
yeah.
am east, bro.
Right. Yeah, right. But take a drive from Malcolm Road from Chisal's Hotel down to Porky's gas
Jesus.
Station.
Jesus, you giving me flashbacks now. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, you'll come but 35 portals from Chisal's to Porky's gas station.
Wow.
Yeah, and then she's a lousy MP for this 1 year, man. Because look at the gentleman in Nassau Village, the strong fella.
Mm.
Man, he didn't get Alexander Boulevard. He didn't get that Taylor Street, all the main road, and pave up. He up the main road or Swords Road, coming up the hill into Nassau and pave. A woman, she ain't pave nothing in Bamboo Down. She put one bit of free Wi-Fi on Kennedy Park. Kennedy Park, because she only concentrate on Kennedy because she live in Kennedy. She don't do nothing for Bamboo Down, man.
All right,
come on, and Bamboo Down can patch up these potholes and things, man.
I'm with you. I want the potholes fixed, too.
Yeah, all over the island, but Bamboo Down area, especially in the area, tell her, come to Emile Drive, man. Come to Dorset Boulevard. Come in the back of Porky's on New Oak Drive. All you know, them big port of Porky, them had to throw some big rock in the hole and thing for people breaking up all the CV chain and all the mud guards. It was six mud guards by the hole. Look, everybody mud guard, the fender guard underneath there. Then they
hit
the big hole, all of them is drop out. And
taking out the old wheel.
Yes, taking out the old wheel, man.
The mud guard, come on, Jesus. All
yeah,
right.
The mud guard, come on, how deep the hole is. Yeah, thanks a lot, Juan, man. And you and your family continue to be safe.
All right, thanks, man. You too. That's a problem. But I mean, I want to know where she is, too. Real talk. I mean, that's a public position. I want to know what's going on. Sorry, I didn't answer your question because I got distracted with the news of the naked person on show. I'm going to try to remain calm about it, but I don't know. See, this is the thing, right? I know things are, there are processes and things take time, but we just see stuff blow up in our face and do nothing about it. Then when a situation get out of bloody control, right? As somebody get hurt, it's a danger to people. You know what I mean? Then we start, oh, let's act and form a committee. Man, come on. You know what's going on. You don't know the shiny town blowing up in Abaco? Oh, well, let's go now and explore. And what are you? Come on, man. You said what would I do if I was in the chair. Sorry. First, I would take the VAT off the breadbasket items before I would expand the breadbasket. Second, I would give people direct cash transfers. What does that look like? A lot. That's probably looking like about at least $5 million a month through Christmas. At least. And that's a lot of money. And where are we going to get the money from? Get it from where you find the money to fly up and down around the world. Get it from where, and you can see the story in The Guardian tomorrow. The, what it is, Travis? The $4 million that we spent on the embassy in Brussels. Get it from there. Now that people need to eat. All right? I always appreciate, you know, that money's not easy to come by, the amount of 3,780,691 dollars and 44 cents of U.S. money was wired to facilitate the operation of the mission in Brussels from July 2019 to June 2022. So you're spending me over $1 million to operate the mission in Brussels, which we'll talk about, which I'm mad at you. We don't want to get blacklisted. We spent $4 million and got blacklisted anyway. But find the money to feed people from there. The same place you found that money, go find the money to go send to feed people. All right? When you have an emergency, when you're saying that people cannot afford food to eat, it ain't no time to go where I can find the money from. Now, when you talk about, well, people need food to eat in this emergency, so let me go limit the profits that the grocers could make. Maybe they'll close. Maybe people get laid off, have hours reduced. I don't know. So I would wire money to people, long story short. And I would do the food distribution program too. It says, yeah, you're right. It's chicken. Even when I'm tired of chicken, I'm eating chicken. Yeah. It says chicken, cup noodles, tuna, and corned beef. Rice high up there too. Says, dude, ramen noodles is the most... Okay. Says, Juan, does the money for the baseball stadium have to be used specifically for that, or can it be redirected for social expenditure? Anything, anywhere can be redirected within that budget, and then it could go back to Parliament and do the supplementary appropriations. Okay? That's all. Don't. Listen. And nobody is sitting around and go, BPL need $90 million. Where are we going to find the money? You can go get the money, right? Nobody sits around and goes, well, you know, we can't touch this money over here. No. BPL needs $10 million. We got to go find the money, and we can figure it out later. Is that, we got to go to break? Okay, we got to break. We'll be back.
Okay.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours, 7242-356-0.
If you want value and flavor, check out the King Meal Deals at Burger King NASA. Enjoy your choice of a Big King Jr. or a Chicken Big King Jr. with fries and a drink for only $5.75, including VAT. The Big King Jr. features Burger King's signature flame-grilled beef topped with some of your favorite fixins and king sauce on a sesame seed bun, or indulge in the Chicken Big King. Either way, you get value, flavor, fries, and a drink the BK way for only $5.75. Burger King NASA, where taste is king.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution. We're just about out of time, but we'll do some of your text messages. It says, Gibson, take her seat. Who, DeVoe? I'm serious about that, by the way. I'd like to know what's happening. I'm actually going to inquire. It says, we've had no further word regarding checks. As far as I know, the elimination process will still happen. Perhaps I need to follow up on that as well. It says, good day. I think we should look at Japan's economic policies to see what they do to have an economy without inflation. Don't know if it will help, but it may give us some insight. There's no inflation in Japan? All right, I'm going to look at that. I don't know how that works, but I'll look at it. It says, I'm his path. It says, I understand the process of political appointees to certain positions when a new administration comes to office. These technocrats should be experienced and professional in the area of their appointment. Clint Watson is wanting in too deep. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, the issue with Clint, I don't understand why he would say that. I mean, I know he knows better than that. So someone said they need to start planting trees in these potholes. You'll never be able to drive if they plant trees in all the potholes. You've got to understand, I'm desensitized to it. I live on Village Road, and that's been a nightmare for, I want to say, the entire year at least. And I don't expect to have nice roads to drive on anymore. I've been conditioned, like with the mask and the lockdown. Like, you guys were conditioned? I'm conditioned now. I think roads are supposed to have trenches 200 feet long, 8 feet deep. That's how life works. It says, their heads are in the sand is correct, Juan. How about they fix these 3-second red lights? Oh, in the world, no one has addressed that. It's been like that for years. Yep, they do need to do that. This says Prime Minister Davis is a poor excuse for a Minister of Finance. He's nothing but a political joker, a waste of time, Bahamas. We could do better, we must. Says you might not agree with me, but Davis is nothing but a fake and a, Jesus, political joker. Oh, Lord. All I have to do is take the flipping VAT off the food, medicine, and insurance. I can get with you with the insurance and the medicine. I don't know about the food. Says one, I'm sorry that question was directed at the opposition leader. He's so up on everything, but no solution. Oh, what would he do if he were in the chair? Oh, okay. Well, I answered it anyway. Says, wait a minute. That Brussels money was spent by the Minnesota administration. It had to be because this administration and now this. No, it was over both administrations. You dig? Now, what they have maybe have budgeted or planned for Brussels may be different now, but I see they just appointed an ambassador or so. It says, did they verify those Brussels receipts weren't doctored? Did the legitimate vendor actually get paid $17,000? We don't talk about Brussels. Don't worry about that. But hopefully no more. It says, I saw a vagrant pull out his stuff and pee right on Mackie and Shirley. When he was done, he went to the closest car and held out his hand for money. See, you get... Okay, let me keep it together for the remainder of the show. You didn't say the intersection at Shirley Street, because if they drive the whole of Shirley Street, they'll find about 40 vagrants. Some of these guys out here, violent, too. Yeah, that's when they're gonna make it, right? Like how when the people break their neck on jet skis. Now we're going to look at the jet skis. Yeah, but no one was looking at it before. You didn't know what was going on. I could tell you what was happening. Y'all don't know the vagrants out here. Cussing people, getting aggressive with people. It could be a problem, because you got someone with me who I ain't just going to let you do anything around me. I don't look at somebody child. Well, everybody is somebody child. One, I'll be honest, Clint Watson is right. More behaving women have to speak on the marital rape issue. Only about 5 female activists publicly addressed the marital rape issue. Yeah, I mean, but those 5 would represent... many, many, many women under big organizations. Since they say some potholes so big you could fit the House of Parliament in them. Yeah, some of the roads are a wreck. And the rain makes it worse. Says Clint Watson is another one. You know what I mean? He's nothing but a junior achiever. Clint suffering from foot and mouth disease. Poor excuse for a secretary of my foot. I would thank you to watch the words you speak about junior achievement, sir. You're speaking to the 1994 Vice President of Production of the Year in Junior Achievement. It's a fine organization. All right. Okay, we have to go. I mean, me. Clint wasn't the Vice President of Production of the Year. I was. I still have my plaque. Do I still have my plaque? My mother had it, and we packed up all her stuff. Probably I still have my plaque. All right, we got to go. We'll be back tomorrow. Lord willing, you guys take care out there. Check out National Review. It's really, really good today. All right. Have a great day, Bahamas.